I was kind of wondering why they were so confident because we stomped their ass last time, and we knew we was gonna do the same this time. I mean, we were confident coming in the game. I can't tell you why they were so confident, but that went out the door real quick.
Well, they have put in a request for Mike Vrabel, the Houston Texans defensive coordinator, not the direction that some assumed they were going, but they really are looking for a leader of men. It's not really about offensive or defense. It's about finding a leader. You can always find a great offensive coordinator to work with Marcus Mariota.
Some of the sounds of the weekend, Bill O'Brien, Jalen Ramsey, Ian Rappaport.
I wonder if this leader of men part interests me. Because ideally, I think what you get is somebody that's technically good, but also a leader of men versus like, yeah, like how far out do you want to extend this? Well, look, he might not actually know how to run a team, but he's a leader of men. Like, well, like, oh, yeah, bring in Steve Ballmer then. We need Steve Ballmer to coach the Texans. You might as well, like, let's get Gino Auriemma there. He's like, because he's such a great leader. He might not know a thing about football, but because he can motivate people, bring him in.
I actually feel like Gino might be better than some NFL coaches.
Let's do a poll on Sports Radio 610. Who would be a better coaching candidate, Mike Vrabel or Gino Auriemma?
Now, in that case, I would say Vrabel.
I think, what would Gino do? You know, he'd hire good assistants.
He would.
He would hire good assistants. Recruiting doesn't help. He's not going to be able to.
The problem is
he's not going to be able to like get the 5-star recruits in the way he does in basketball.
Did you see that Peter King told our friends in Nashville that he thinks Mike Vrabel could be the next, wait for it, Bill Cowher?
Okay.
The next Bill Cowher.
I don't know what that means.
So the next Bill Cowher.
What does it mean to be the next Bill Cowher?
It means
win one Super Bowl, have a really good regular season success.
Here's what it means.
Go to 2 Super Bowls.
I think that when people think about Bill Cowher as a football coach, they don't think great X's and O's, mind, or strategy. They think of leader of men, spitting, emotion on the sideline, his demeanor. They think leader of men, good overall football coach.
Yeah, it just brings that player's mentality to the coaching role and sets a tone. I hate to have this kind of fuzzy, soft take about that Steelers game, but I just couldn't help but have it. If I'm the head coach of that team, man, I feel personally responsible for my team just not showing up in the first half.
That was a
horrendous
display.
Is to have them ready to go. And there's this always, the Steelers are like, almost like the Longhorns of the NFL in some respects, I feel like, where you worry that the players have a sense of entitlement almost, that because you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, then you must be bad and tough. Like, all right, well, that's great, but you got to show up and do it.
Yep.
You got to show up in the playoffs and take care of it because they have all this talent. They have an incredible amount of talent, and they just flat out don't perform up to the level of their talent. The defense was pathetic. Versus the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I'm glad that Bortles has resurrected his hope and promise and all that. I kind of like it. It's good for the league. It's good for Jacksonville. It's good for all these things. But you're going to come in and let Blake Bortles do that to you? Are you serious? At Heinz Field, like half the stands are empty by the end of it. I got one of my buddies from Jacksonville. His boys were up at the Steelers game wearing their Jaguar stuff, half naked. They were shirtless, taunting. I saw videos of it taunting these Pittsburgh people who are leaving because of the cold.
That's a fun day.
Yeah. You let a Florida team come in and play Mean Joe Green style football. Like, you let a team from Florida come in and show that they were better equipped to play in the cold, that they were tougher than you. What the hell? You're the Pittsburgh freaking Steelers. How the hell do you let that happen? From a Florida team. A Florida team came in and just ran all over you. Like, Leonard Fournette might as well have kissed your sister after those touchdowns. Like, he just owns you now. Owns you.
He has one of the most impressive streaks in football. Every game I've watched Leonard Fournette play, whether it was at LSU or Jacksonville, he's limped off the field at least one time.
Yeah, he's
at least one time. I've been watching this guy play football for 4 years, and every time I've watched him, he's limped off the field at least one time.
And his ankle will need to be relatively healthy on Sunday.
Are you saying that he's maybe a little bit like Ben Roethlisberger-ish? He's going to wear the walking boot just to get the attention?
Not at all. I'm saying that dude takes a pounding, he's a big target for defensive players, and he just gets roughed up.
Just to recap what happened over the course of the last couple days. So Brian Gain and Bill O'Brien gets deals with the Texans. Gain, 5 years through 2022. O'Brien, 4-year extension through the same year, 2022. Titans fire Malarkey, and they request to interview Mike Vrabel. Colts are expected to hire Josh McDaniels. And obviously, the Jaguars won the playoff game against the Steelers. True or false? Based on Jacksonville's success in the postseason, and specifically the game on Sunday, Blake Bortles will be their quarterback in 2018.
Yeah, he will be.
I agree.
Yeah. No, definitely, 100%. Now, the question is, okay, what do they do about finding somebody to potentially replace him? And it's an interesting year where all of a sudden where there was no quarterback movement forever and it was really hard to wrest the quarterback away from somebody else or another team. There's a whole lot of intriguing prospects out there. When you talk about Kirk Cousins, you talk about Teddy Bridgewater, Bradford, Case Keenum himself.
A lot of guys out there.
I expect Case Keenum to be back in Minnesota. I think they franchise him if need be.
I would agree with you on that. So that might be a good thing for the Texans, though, moving forward, is that Bortles will now be the Jaguars quarterback in 2018, as opposed to a possible upgrade.
Mm-hmm. But then Pat Shurmur, too. If Pat Shurmur is going to be with the Giants, what does Pat Shurmur do? Is Eli Manning the quarterback for the Giants this year?
Maybe.
I don't think he is.
You don't think he is?
Well, unless they have an adequate replacement. Does Shurmur bring Case Keenum with him somehow? I don't think so, because I don't think Minnesota lets Case Keenum go.
I think the Giants are going to draft quarterback number two. Okay. I don't think they're going to go in the Keenum direction.
So maybe there is one more year of Eli Manning, depending on... But then that puts Pat Shurmur in the position of being the dude that benches Eli Manning once again.
Is it easier when you know that you draft a quarterback at number two?
I think it's way easier. That's like McNair or anybody else. I think that's a lot easier.
I tend to think so.
And I think that's where, and it's expected that's going to happen at some point. So I'd say if Eli played the way he did this year with a number two overall quarterback behind him, I think he would have been benched and the fans would have been happy for it. It's that when you bench him for Geno Smith, people don't know what the hell's going on.
Does Tom Coughlin being the coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars give them an advantage against the Patriots, given that he is the one guy that's beat them twice on the big stage as a head coach? I know he's not the coach anymore, but is that some sort of advantage?
It gives him an advantage in that the team is constructed in similar fashion to what those Giants teams were that beat the Patriots. They're capable of affecting the passer. They're capable of playing man coverage. They're capable of doing it. Because look, and they'll say the Jaguars play a lot of cover three. The way they play cover three, it turns into basically a lot of man. I think they're capable of playing the kind of defense that they need to. But that's, I guess you could say that's similar because Coughlin wants the team to look that way.
Tom Coughlin, one of the most underrated people in the NFL right now.
Plus, Tom Coughlin, really though, is he?
I mean,
I heard a whole lot. I feel like Doug Marrone's at least the most underrated. Doug Marrone's not getting credit for any of this. It's all Tom Coughlin.
You can add Doug to that.
People won't shut up about Tom Coughlin. Maybe you and I are listening to different media outlets.
Maybe.
I feel like Tom Coughlin is getting the lion's share of the credit for the Jaguars right now. Then, well, he's out on the field during practice. He's in some weird role where he's like above the GM, but he's also on the field and like coaching people and talking to guys and everything.
It's an interesting deal.
It's a good matchup between him and Marrone. You want to talk about alignment? What does Bill O'Brien talk about? He wants alignment between the GM and the head coach. Doug Marrone is an old offensive line coach. Tom Coughlin is old school in terms of he wants his football team to look exactly like the team that was out there versus the Steelers on Sunday. He wants bruising, rushing football that sets up the play action, and that's what they're doing.
In Mad Takes, a local hero heading to the Olympics, and we've got a new sports power couple, Mike and Seth, on a rainy, cold Tuesday.